Before the end of 2021, Governor Kathy Hochul will need to act on more than 400 bills that passed the state legislature, including a measure reinstating the Office of the Advocate for People with Disabilities, which was approved unanimously by lawmakers earlier this year. To discuss the legislation and more, we're joined by Bruce Darling, President and CEO of the Center for Disability Rights. Welcome to the show, Bruce.
Thank you for having me.
So what are the shortcomings, as you see them, in state government that would be addressed by creating an Office of the Advocate for People with Disabilities?
So for state government to be effective for people with disabilities, there are two things we need. First, we need policy expertise. And right now, there is no office within state government that is charged with looking at issues from a disability perspective. So legislation, regulatory change, and that all of those types of things, no one stops and says, hey, how does this impact people with disabilities? So that's the first problem that we see. The second is simply representation. If you look at state government, and we appreciate the fact that Governor Hochul is diversifying her administration, but when you look at the administration, are there people with significant disabilities represented in state government? There aren't. And that's a problem because if you are not dealing with these issues on a daily basis, if you don't have a direct connection to the community that's impacted, you don't know what you're dealing with and you don't have the information that you need. So having someone with a significant disability in the administration who could give policy advice would go to great lengths to improve Governor Hochul's connection to the disability community and meeting the needs of disabled New Yorkers.
Well, you said something kind of interesting in that first point there. You argued that no one's stopping and thinking how certain decisions affect people with disabilities. What makes you think that? Why does it require an office specifically with this title to ensure that a holistic approach is being taken to decisions that come from the state? Is it possible that people are taking this into consideration?
Well, okay. I think the fact that Governor Cuomo was sued to provide ASL access to his daily press briefings demonstrates no one was watching the shop when it comes to disability issues.
Well, couldn't that be an example of where they thought about it and then made a calculation that it just whatever headaches or whatever logistical questions were raised just weren't worth it to them? Isn't it possible that they've maybe always been cognizant of these things but just haven't prioritized them enough? Is it possible that the real concern is getting better prioritization of the concerns of the disability community?
I've been doing disability work for 3 decades, and I can't identify in state government who would even you'd even have these conversations with.
Gotcha.
So, you know, we have actually used my role as a member of the Most Integrated Sitting Coordinating Council to reach out to the second floor. And at best, what we have are administrative staff within other state agencies who will forward our concerns onto the second floor. If, in fact, there was someone who was looking at these things, I'd have expected that we'd have been able to meet with them. And that's not the case.
So this office was initially created through an executive order by then-Governor Mario Cuomo nearly 40 years ago. What sort of track record did the office have before being merged out of existence by Governor Andrew Cuomo?
So the office is only as strong as they're listened to. I can tell you, okay, so this goes way back. Fran Bercow was the head of the office, was the advocate for people with disabilities. I remember her very fondly. So as a young advocate, there was a place that where people could go. So even if it wasn't the strongest policy office, there was at least a place, a connection where disabled advocates could go to say, hey, these are the issues, and have an emissary within the administration to move them forward. We've not had that for years. So when the office was cut as part of cost-saving measures and merged into other offices, those policy functions basically disappeared. And since that time, we have struggled. The issue for me is we used to have a connection where we could actually make policy change, and that's all gone. It's not just one issue in terms of ASL access and press briefings. It's additional issues, website access to scheduling vaccine appointments. Additionally, no framework for requesting reasonable accommodations when you want to get the vaccine. When deaf people got access to the press briefings with ASL, the webinar for staff interested about getting information about the vaccine was not accessible to deaf folks. So they did provide ASL access later after the fact, but access delayed is access denied. We need timely information, and an Office for the Advocate can make that happen.
When Governor Cuomo vetoed a similar version of this bill nearly 2 years ago, he wrote in his veto message that he was calling for the creation of a chief disability officer position that would be in his executive office. Did he follow up on that pledge? And if so, what was the consequence of the position?
We have no chief disability officer. So whether he followed up on it, you know, checked to see what was going on, there is no chief disability officer. There has not been a chief disability officer. And I would just suggest that a single person would not have the breadth of expertise or the bandwidth to address the needs of all disabled New Yorkers. If you think about it, the policy range is relatively significant in terms of understanding the access needs across the community, the policy implications. This person should not be a single individual, but should actually have a staff to be able to accomplish that work. It's one thing to be a chief, but to be a chief with no one following you is really a problem.
Yeah, disabilities can present themselves on a wide spectrum and occur on varying degrees. So what would a holistic or comprehensive office look like?
We've talked through what like potential areas of representation. So, you know, I think it would be important for there to be representation from various segments of the community. If this office were created and it didn't have a deaf individual working in it who had a connection to the deaf community who could bring that expertise, that would be a failure. Additionally, we think there needs to be folks involved who have experience of mobility disabilities and physical disabilities so that that experience of physical access issues could be represented in the office. Additionally, people with non-visible disabilities, such as a mental health disability, would be important to be included as well. Although there is an office for mental health, that office is focused on the services that are provided to people with mental health disabilities. It is not actually focused on the policy issues that, and as a resource for other state agencies. So if there were a need for, say, a quiet space during a conference that the state was having, OMH is not charged with advising another department on how to make that happen. That's just not what they do. This office would do that type of thing.
In case you're just joining us, you're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're speaking with Bruce Darling, President and CEO of the Center for Disability Rights. Also included in the veto message from 2019 by the governor was an estimation that the new office could cost about $1 million and that there was no money put aside for its implementation. Two-part question. One, what do you think of that cost estimate? And two, this go-around, is there any money put aside for the creation of an office and staffing, or would that be something that would get done through the context of next year's budget?
So no money has been set aside. I think if the governor were sincere in wanting to move forward on disability policy issues, he would have included that in his budget. Mm-hmm. So I can see making that case and saying, no, we don't have that now, but we will work on that. The fact that funding was not included demonstrates that this was not a priority for him. And that's partly why we need Governor Hochul to change. So what was the second part of your question?
Well, the $1 million cost estimate, is that what it will cost to annually run this office in an effective manner?
You know, I can't say that that's a bad estimate. I don't know. To be perfectly honest, I think $1 million is a lot of money, but I don't run a state agency. So I don't know what their overhead costs are and how that all works. But from my perspective, $1 million may sound like a lot of money, but the fact of the matter is we have a lot of disabled New Yorkers whose interests are not being represented in state government today. We have no envoy in the administration, and this is something that Governor Hochul can do.
Well, it's funny. I was going to counter that $1 million doesn't sound like a lot of money, considering if you are actually using an office to craft better policies that, for example, lets New Yorkers become more engaged in their day-to-day life, lets them become more productive, the benefits are probably well in excess of $1 million.
I would argue that as well. I also would argue that we probably are spending a lot of money defending ourselves in lawsuits unnecessarily that we could just put into an upfront someone to look at these issues. I find it disturbing. I get the notifications for these webinars and things that are going on. And when I reach out to say, do you provide access to folks who have disabilities? You know, do you have ASL interpreters and such? They'll say, no, it didn't occur to us that we needed to do this. I mean, the ADA was passed, 30 years ago? Mm-hmm. And we're still needing to explain this. It shouldn't be put on disabled people to have to explain these laws 30 years after the fact. The state should be doing something more proactive. And $1 million in the context of the state budget is really not that much money.
So is the fact that Governor Cuomo didn't prioritize money for this office or decide to sign legislation creating this office, is that indicative of his overall approach to issues facing New Yorkers with disabilities, or is this an outlier from his 10-plus years in office?
This is exactly consistent with who Governor Cuomo was. Honestly, I think we could make the case that he's the most ablest governor we have ever had. He vetoed multiple pieces of legislation to help advance disability policy in our state. There's a lot of attention focused on the nursing facility issue and the decisions that were made and the deaths that happened in those facilities. But the truth of the matter is he had been fighting to restrict access to home and community-based services for years before that happened. He had vetoed legislation that would have made homes more accessible in the state of New York. Those are very modest things that he could have done that would have improved the lives of disabled New Yorkers. And in almost every instance, he did the opposite of what he needed to do.
So Governor Hochul, in addition to signing this bill, as far as you're concerned, could probably demonstrate her priorities in her budget proposal, which won't come out until January. So in the interim, what can she do, mostly administratively or through the use of her bully pulpit, that would signal to you that she's serious about taking on issues that matter to New Yorkers with disabilities?
So as an immediate step, she could sign the legislation that would authorize the Office of the Advocate. That would be an immediate thing that she could do. As an immediate step, she could re-up the executive order, maintaining that office, to say that there's an investment in that. She could hire a chief disability officer with the flexibility that she has now. She could do that immediately so that she has someone on the second floor who can talk to and explain disability issues for her, because frankly, without that person, she's going to continue the ableist policies that Governor Cuomo had put in place. So, for example, it's deeply disappointing to us. When he lost the lawsuit that said he needed to provide ASL access in Albany, you've never seen, to my knowledge, an ASL interpreter standing next to him when he was giving any of those briefings. That's because the ASL interpreter was hidden in a separate room and shown in a separate box on the video feed.
Right.
To us, that is providing access in a passive-aggressive manner. It may mean that the access is there, but I'm not going to let people know that there is an interpreter who's interpreting for me. This is one of the things that needs to change, and it's not just about quality of care in nursing facilities. It's not just about those deaths. It's actually about how the state treats disabled New Yorkers.
Well, we've been speaking with Bruce Darling. He's the president and CEO of the Center for Disability Rights. Bruce, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.
Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.